We're going to conclude this hour by talking with two authors of a book that's certainly getting a lot of buzz in political circles. At least it was until about 5 o'clock last night when the big Haiti story broke that we've been covering most of the morning. Mark Halperin joins us, political analyst for Time Magazine, and John Heilman, national political correspondent for New York Magazine. They are both authors of the book Game Change, in which this famous quote that we've been talking about all week from Harry Reid, suggesting that Barack Obama got elected because he was a light-skinned African-American and didn't have a Negro dialect unless he wanted one. But that's just the smallest part of this narrative of certainly the historic 2008 campaign. First of all, thanks for joining us, Mark and John.
Really pleased to be with you. Thanks for having us.
And let's get a sense of some of the voices in the 2008 campaign. See if you can pick out who's not in this little mashup from the campaign.
There's not a single person in America that should vote for me because Elizabeth has cancer. Not a one. If you're considering doing it, don't do it.
As Putin rears his head and comes into the airspace of the United States of America, where do they go? It's Alaska.
Together, we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words. Yes, we can. Thank you, New Hampshire.
Give me a break. This whole thing is the biggest fairy tale I've ever seen.
Well, no more calls. We have a winner. Of course, no John McCain in there and no Hillary Clinton in that mashup. But the cast of thousands in the 2008 campaign must have challenged you as political reporters. John?
It's an incredible cast of characters, John. It's like they're, part of the reason that we wrote the book was because these characters are so extraordinary. And it was, we write that the subtitle of the book is A Race of a Lifetime, Obama, the Clintons, McCain and Palin, The Race of a Lifetime. We really saw it that way. And part of the reason why it was, for so many reporters, including us, A Race of a Lifetime, was that these characters are such outsized characters. Unlike so many other presidential campaigns where you have kind of very talented politicians, these people were not just politicians, but were kind of, Shakespearean figures, as well as kind of modern, kind of postmodern celebrities.
I'd say Shakespearean in the case of Obama, but if you get into Sarah Palin, Mark Halperin, it's more like Ionesco. It's very bizarre. Describe what you learned about the relationship between John McCain and Sarah Palin.
Well, McCain had met her earlier in the year at an event in Washington, D.C., but she was basically a stranger to him. McCain's idea, consistent with his strategist, was that he needed a game-changing pick. He needed someone as his vice presidential running mate who would cause the country to look anew at the race, look anew at McCain, look anew at the Republicans' chances. And he was really set on picking his friend Joe Lieberman. Now, Lieberman would certainly have been a game-changing pick, but in a totally different way than Palin. As a Democrat independent, as someone who'd been Al Gore's running mate on the Democratic ticket 8 years before, that plan was going along fine until right at the end when McCain's advisor said, you know what, this is a bridge too far. It would blow up the Republican convention and divide the party. We can't do it. Literally 5 days before McCain was due to pick his running mate, they put Sarah Palin on the table for the first time in any serious way, and McCain met with her, but had the most cursory of meetings. As we say in the book, her background check was not anything like you'd get if you wanted to be an assistant secretary of agriculture. And then they started off great. Palin exploded out of the gate. McCain was so happy, so proud, didn't feel overshadowed, felt like this invigorated his campaign, and then things started to fall apart.
Yeah, and you have scenes of her being quizzed about history in front of maps in hotel rooms. I mean, that situation seems incredibly bizarre. John Heilman, what's amazing to me is the portrait of the John Edwards campaign, which is really a sad psychodrama of two people in a state of complete desperation. Did that surprise you?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that it, both in the case of John and Elizabeth Edwards, the gap between the public image for both those characters and the private reality was as great or greater than for any of the other candidates. And there's always a gap between those two things. But these guys, there's a yawning chasm in a way. And it was most surprising, I think, in the case of Elizabeth Edwards. She's an incredibly sympathetic figure in American life, and yet, for the people around her, that many of them felt sort of like battered spouses. She was very, very difficult on her staff, very difficult on her husband, and he is, in some ways, the the extreme version of all the things, of all the flaws and foibles of every presidential candidate. All, you know, every presidential candidate is driven to some extent by vanity and hubris and ego and neediness and a certain kind of delusion.
Right.
Edwards is all of those things in extreme. And, we tell the story in the book of not only how he first got drawn into his affair with Raelle Hunter, how he resisted, how his aides come to him time and again and tell him to stop having this affair because they suspect that it's going to bring him down. He resists and resists and resists. And by the end of the story, even after, in the spring of 2008, after he's out of the race, he's actually the child that he is now widely presumed to be the father of with Raelle Hunter has been born, and yet he's still under the illusion that he could be Obama's attorney general. I mean, it's probably the most deluded thing of any of the characters in the book.
Well, you really get a sense that your sources in the Edwards campaign were telling you, God help us all if these people get anywhere near the White House. But I want to shift to Obama. In many ways, that campaign was always described to us as he wanted to stay above it all. Based on the stories of the characters that you write about, he didn't have to go very, very high in elevation to stay above the rest of the characters in this race. Don't you agree, Mark Halperin?
Well, he had the advantage of none of the personal turmoil. You know, we talked about the personal turmoil between the Edwards, but the other two people who were really in Obama's way in any significant manner, Hillary Clinton and John McCain, both also dealt with some marital distractions during the campaign.
No, the war rooms, Hillary Clinton's war rooms about Bill Clinton affairs is just, you know, in venal beyond description.
Well, and, you know, a personal tough situation, of course, but also just from a political point of view, how difficult it is for the candidate when they're trying to focus on winning the White House to be dealing with the kind of marital discord that existed between all of his chief rivals in both parties. Obama really set the tone, and we show in the book that even during the hard parts in 2007, when the campaign was struggling, which some people forget, he did something pretty impressive for a candidate, and this really speaks to the nature of Obama. He called everybody in on several key meetings that we described with his top aides and Michelle in the room, and he said, look, guys, things aren't going well. We need to change course, or we need to evaluate, are we on the right course? In one instance, we show in the book, he says, you know what? We had a plan. We're going to stick to it. In another instance, though, he said, you know what? The problems are too severe. We need to change course. And you read these scenes, and you see Obama and the interplay with Michelle, how he makes decisions, real insight into the kind of decision-maker and executive he is.
Well, it's definitely a fly on the wall look at the 2008 campaign that in many ways spells the end of the Clinton era as much as it is a portrait of the Obama era. Mark Halperin, political analyst for Time Magazine. John Heilman, national political correspondent for New York Magazine. The book is Game Change. Thank you both.
Talking about the devastation in Haiti following the earthquake yesterday, and we're wondering if you have a message for friends, family, or loved ones who are still in Haiti. If you want to talk about the disaster there, please give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. But if you are looking for information about your family members there, call the State Department at 888-407-4747. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. It's morning in Haiti. This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.